You are, so that we get the right level.
Okay.
I am with Mrs. Phillips.
Yes. Kathleen.
Kathleen Phillips.
At 76 East Avenue, Burlington, Vermont.
And it is July 12th,
yes,
1993.
All right. Okay. You got the date on.
Good. Now, tell me a little bit about where you grew up and...
All right. In Warren, Vermont, right near the covered bridge. In Warren, right near the river there, had a nice little home, and we used to keep a cow, and I used to always have to get the cow and tie her up. This is telling Charlie about that, which is funny. I had the cow was black, and she had big horns, and my father had always said, be sure and fasten the cow up when you put her in the barn, because she might get in the grain. So I certainly don't believe I was more than 8 years old, but I might have been more, I don't know, time flies. And I'd go to the pasture and get the cow and bring her back and put her in the barn. And when she got in the barn, where the stall was to be fastened, she would yank her head, shake her head right over, and frighten me terrible. And so I would run out of the barn, but I remembered that my father had informed me that she must be fastened. And he always, he said anything he wanted to listen. So I would go back in the barn, and I'd put my hand on the cow and pet her and her head and say, now, Flossie, be good. And Flossie would stay still, and then I'd fasten her up. Now that was what I did, for many years. For a long time, I did it for, I guess, 8 or 9 years, quite a long time. My sister was small, but he didn't ask her because she was shorter and so on, and I was stronger, and that's why I did it. So that was the way we did, and we always had a big garden, and, you know, a lot, and my mother canned a lot, and it was pleasant on the porch. We always, the house was small, but it was pleasant. Yeah. And my father was a blacksmith, and he had a blacksmith shop, which was across from the river. It was not very far from the house, across the river.
Now, what was your father's name?
Harlow Ebel. And then later on, he studied winters and so on, and he learned how to repair cars. And he also worked winters over to the sawmill, which was one side of my house, that's our house there by the river, a large mill. My father used to keep the machinery in repair during the winter.
Which mill was that?
Well, it's a sawmill, I don't know who. The Wakefields owned it. I don't remember the name of the other people, but it was a very nice big mill, sawmill.
That was Edwin Wakefield?
Yes, right. Edwin Wakefield and a man by the name of Palmer. He was a graduate of academy.
Mm-hmm.
And he got married and he wasn't supposed to, so they kicked him out. And so he lived there in Warren. He run the mill there, Palmer and Wakefield. And of course it was Wakefield. And they had a nice home there in the mill yard. And they kept a horse and as I say, they employed quite a few people in the sawmill and did for years there. And so that's all I can remember, as I say. Then, of course, it caught fire and everything burned. I never remember. I had to go up to bed, and I was the first one discovered in the family. I had my light. I went up the stairs, and when I looked over there, the whole thing was on fire. And, of course, it was a terrible, terrible night. My mother lost all the homemade bread she'd made and gave them coffee and had to put quilts and everything on our house and wet them. It was a very, and of course, in those days, there was no fire department at all, just volunteer work. But it saved our house. We were pretty well scorched, but of course, those people, the Wheatfields, lost the big mill, their home, and the whole thing. It was a very serious thing at that time, because, of course, it put a lot of people out of work and so on. And that's it.
I knew Ella, who I guess was their granddaughter or daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She married twice. Mm-hmm. She was Ella Benoit when
mm-hmm.
I knew her.
Yeah. I was trying to think what her father's name was. Howard, it was a...
They were very musical.
Yes. So my father was, too.
Oh, he was?
Oh, he played violin. He played for dances and shows, yes. And he was very good for many, many years. And he used to, sometimes in competition with Wakefield, I was trying to think what was his name. What was Wakefield's name? The one that, of course, Mrs. Palmer, that is Edith Wakefield, she gave some piano lessons. She was pretty good on piano. And then, of course, then she worked with her brother there. I know what his name was, but I don't know why I don't remember names like I used to. I've tried to.
It was Red Wakefield.
No, I don't. I'm trying to think what. Well, maybe it'll come to me anyway. Of course, Edith, his sister, played the piano and for her brother. And they played for dances some, but my father also played for many dances.
Did he know many songs?
I don't know. He could black up, and he on those sort of shows, he could do them. And Nellie Gills, you don't ever remember hearing about them. I don't know where they came from. I think they might have come from off up in East Montpelier or someplace. They're around, they came into Vermont. They were known as the Nellie Gills. And it was a play. It was a very nice little show, it was a clean show. And my father played for another woman, Mrs. Greenwood. They played for the shows a lot. And then there was a Pete LaMorder. He played drum, I think it was. Sometimes he played with them, the three of them. But sometimes it's just two of them. And they went all over, go to Rochester, all the towns, and put on these shows. They were nice little plays, you know, all of them. They were clean shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those days we didn't have movies, and it was a great comfort to go to something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody liked those. Yes, and we had those for years. As I say, my father played an awful lot on those. And
did all his children?
Howard was, wasn't it Howard Wakefield?
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think it sounds like Howard. And his married, the wife, her father's name was Paquette. He was a creamery man and married. And Ella's grandfather's name was Paquette, I think.
I think that's right.
That sounds like it was. And of course, the Paquettes, the missus, I remember, they were nice people. And they were, I think it was a butter maker there in Warren. Of course, they used to have pretty good business, butter making in Warren. Oh, it was right next to my father's shop, you see. This creamery. And the farmers from everywhere came there with their, I guess, the sold cream. They made butter and had these huge boxes and sold it every places. Very, very delicious butter they made. And it's quite a trick to see them make the butter. They had a thing in the back, I know the name of it, where they would catch, where the water would come and they'd catch anything. It was coming down the stream, like a chunk of wood. I know what the name is. They had one at the creamery. They had one over at the sawmill for the Wakefields. There was two of them.
Sort of a strainer-like thing?
Well, it was a great big thing, It was a big projection,
mm-hmm.
and it was held a lot of water. And I know the name, but just one of those things. As I say, as you get older, you can't remember sometimes mm-hmm. the names of things as you did in your younger days. But anyway, they made butter, and they used that water from the river to make the butter. And I used to be fascinated to see this huge thing, this great big, about half the size of this room, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where the water came in there, as I say, but it would catch all of the anything that would be coming down the river, which wouldn't be much unless it'd be a stick of wood or something like that. And it was fascinating to watch them make butter. And my father's shop, of course, I would get in the window. I remember I wasn't very more than 4 or 5 years old, and he would hold me up. And I was always very curious. And see him clean that thing out, you see. I had a big rake thing or something, cleaned it up. And then, as I say, the surplus water went into the creamery to make the butter. Of course, today you couldn't make butter out of that water, but to see water was pure, there were not sewers in the stream. And so they over the mill, of course, they had one. It's funny that I know the name of those things. But anyway, that's what they did for a long time. And it was a great thing to see them make the butter. I used to want to watch them make the butter. Well, there was a fellow by the name of Chapman. His wife taught school. He was black, and she taught school there for many, many years. She was white. But, of course, he is only half or a quarter black. But anyway, of course, my father wouldn't let me go there. I said, you know, because he didn't, of course, people in those days kind of weren't too fond of blacks. Good to know. My father would say, I'll take you over. So he let me go over because I wanted to see him make the butter. But it was fascinating. It was fascinating. Oh, I was so excited to see the machinery and the cream went in and, you know, to make the butter. And it was such tasty.
Now, how did they do it?
Oh, they had all kinds of machines. And then they had a shelf where they, oh, I can't really describe it. It was a lot of machinery that is made, much of it was made out of wood. But a tray, of course, it was a machine that chugged it and so on. And it was fascinating, but they sold lots of butter there for a long time. And finally, of course, Pocket came there. And then after time, they didn't carry the milk. They didn't take the awful amount of milk, but it was a great thing for all the farmers there because then they take the buttermilk. Some of them took the buttermilk home for their pigs and for various things, And I used to see all the wagons coming in and this. And of course, my father used to repair it. Excuse me, the wheels and all sorts of things for the farmers. And that's what they did, and sleighs and so on. It was his business. He did a lot of, he got a lot of work those days. And that was the way it was there. And the dam now is no good down there. They tried to get me to do that. I didn't, I could put some money in there, but I know. The dam went out. They wanted some money to fix it up. But, well, I had quite a little. I kept fooling around. I understood, but I didn't. I was a bit disgusted. There's a lawyer and Montpelier and so on. Finally, I told them. They sold the cream. The creamery was sold. Nobody used it. And so finally, I told them. I said, you talk with Dr. Brooks. His father was the owner. The creamery dissolved after a while when it did. But it was a great thing to watch that as a child. And
now, did you have a big, were there a lot of you, a lot of brothers and sisters?
No, I had just two of us.
Oh,
my sister and I. I was the bad one. She was very nice, but I was always bad. When I was an awful, I was terrible curious. I don't know how my father coped with me, but he could manage me much better than my mother, because he knew I wasn't bad. I was just curious and about everything, and of course, the business down there. I was the one that, well, they were after me to get some money out of me and so on. I could have, but it's one of those things that, well, they were trying to take that lot and so on. I just straightened it out. I just got straight going. But it was, of course, Warren was the way it was. I was telling, of course, what's his name?
Charlie.
Charlie was awful kind of. I said, I remember. I'd just gone to school. I know I would. I don't believe I was more than 6 years old. But I was always nosy. And so I remember that I stopped at the shop to see my father. And he did. If he didn't, sometimes he used to he made the shoes for horses. And sometimes he put something on them, purpose, and make an office. A lot of fire, sparks, and I'd have to get out of there. I'd be scared, and I'd get out of the shop. And I said to him in later years, you did that on purpose, didn't you? Yes, I did. I said, and why did you do it? He says, the men were talking filthy. He says, and I didn't want you to hear. So he says, that's the way I did it. Well, that's for years there. He used to make horse shoes. He knew how, because he was really had learned the trade. So he was very helpful. My father was always.
How did he learn the trade?
Well, I think he learned in Granville, an old man. And I've forgotten how long he stayed there. And that man, old Frenchman's name was Parrish. And Granville, he learned the trade as a young boy. He went there, you see, there were a lot of lumber concerns. And up in Granville, they were cutting a pile of timber. And of course, my father hurt his back, but bothered him for a long time. And 1 year, he was kind of didn't do much because I was shoeing those big horses. One thing that tickles, and I told Charlie about it, I guess I was about 6 years old. I stopped from school. I want to see what my father's doing. So I stopped. In the corner was a great big piece of wood, a great big. Oh, and I said, this great big frame. Oh, what in the world? Of course, I wonder what it was. And in the frame was an oxen. And a great big heavy straps. That oxen was fastened in that big box. And I said, oh, well, I wonder what in the world. So I watched my father. Of course, the shoes were built like that, you know. The shoe that went on an ox was like that. And so he had to shoe that ox. You know, put those shoes on. And of course, they used them for sugaring. Later on, I found out what they used them for. But of course, sugar places, if something happened to the ox, it died, or broke its leg, or something, well, then they could kill it and use it for beef. So they used them instead of horses. And those, of course, they had so much snow in those days, very deep, you know. And an ox would stand still. Of course, a horse is very active. It wouldn't stand still, but an ox is just right there. And they use them once in a while to put them in a frame to make them tread up and down to saw wood, too. Well, I watched him do that, shoe that. And of course, I said that to somebody, said I was lying. I said I wasn't lying, I can remember. I saw him shoe that oxen, and he did. And then I don't know what happened later on, but he got out of the frame, probably had another one. Well, then Frank Hartshorn, who lived up in Lincoln, his father, I think, was a professor. I think he had been to Norwich. And he used to, there was a school up way up on Lincoln Mountain Road, on the road there. There was a schoolhouse, and I guess it's still there now. And my mother went to school there, and all the young people and farmers and various there. And of course, he was, well, he had better schooling, knew more books and so on than the average run of teachers. And so he stayed up then. He married she was very religious. His wife was, and she was a very nice person. And so they had two boys in a way. I don't have much else. I remember this Frank, and his brother lived in Montpelier. And Frank was a...
Frank and Arthur.
It was Arthur. Well, anyway, Frank, he was a little odd, but he had a wonderful memory on the Bible. Oh, we knew it from Z to Q. Well, I remember that I went up there one time. I saw him out in the field. He's barefooted, and he had the ox. And he's plowing with those oxen. And, of course, those days are gone, but I saw him do it, so I know. I don't lie. Well, anyway, as I say, Frank's he's very accommodating. He said, I know one time he took me down. I walked over the Lincoln Mountain alone. And when I was during the 1927 flood business. And he took me home down because he said my father was always doing something for somebody for nothing, and he did. Well, anyway, that was something you won't ever see again in these days, is somebody plowing with the oxen. That's what he did. And I don't know how many others, but several people had the oxen around there. That is, people who lived on the back roads because, as I say it, if they broke a leg, they could use them. But of course it was expensive and something happened to a horse and they wouldn't stand still. That was part of, that was one of the things I used to watch and so on. Yeah.
What was it like during the 27 flood?
Well, I taught in Huntington and I came over, I hired somebody to take me to the foot of Lincoln Mountain and I walked over. I never was afraid. Walked over one time. There's a steps ahead of me. This fellow, but he didn't, I was a little bit nervous, but I didn't, when I got with Full of Mountain, he came forward. He was down to Frank Archon's, and he was all right, but I walked over there alone, I know, over the mountain. I never was afraid. I was always that way. And, you know, today, you couldn't do it at all, and I never had anyone ever bother me in the world. I've traveled an awful lot alone. I never had any man. Some people talk to them, but they never bothered me. I said, I don't think they know I was a woman. They never bothered me. I never had any problems at all, but I used to travel around wherever I went. I used to hike up all the mountains and so on. I was a great walker, yeah. I was kind of an odd person, I guess, because, of course, I knew I got to where I knew different trees. And I saw my son was in college up here. He says, there's no need of my taking it. Says, you know more about that trees than I do.
Now, how did you learn about the trees?
My father.
Tell me a little bit.
Well, I go to, on Sundays. I didn't like to go to church. And my father saved my neck by, he didn't go to church too much. He had a kind of trouble with the urine sometimes. And to stay out the whole hour sometimes. That was his excuse anyway. He didn't go to church. My mother always had to go. You had to go in 2 hours, and I hated it. Oh, nobody hated it like me. And, well, of course, she punished me a lot of times because I wasn't very nice. I couldn't sit still, and I was very bad. And I imagine, but he would feel sorry for me. So Sunday afternoon, of course, she wanted to rest, and she wanted to get away from me, I imagine I was a nuisance. And so he'd take me. And go for a walk. And I think my sister went along, but she wasn't interested. And in the lumber yard, all these trees, it was birch, all kind of birch, spruces, and ash, all kinds of trees. Well, he'd tell me which was which. And of course, I learned that way. And I also got so I could tell in the trees, in the woods. To where I just learned that way, you see, that was my way of learning it. But he was the one, my father was the one. But things like that, he's very understanding, and he wanted to, well, I know, I probably annoyed her, but you see, he took me off her hands and, And that was, I enjoyed it. I walked a lot. I, you know, I wanted to, I had to do something. I'd walking around. And I had lumber yards and various things. And I learned that. And in the woods, I got to where I knew my all, but I can't remember now, like I did, I'm telling you. And herbs, he knew. He used to, I good know a lot of, I know quite a few, but plants. I see his, my father's grandmother was a, she took care of people. And she made a lot of medicines and things like he used to do. And she always made him go and gather the herbs and the things. And he and his brother. And so my father remembered. And then he, of course, when I was in the woods, he'd tell me what they were, and I learned that way. My sister, I don't know if she ever cared.
Now, I'm quite interested in the different remedies and so forth. Do you remember any?
I wish I did. I'm so heartbroken over that. When I stayed with my grandfather, Abel's, in East Ranger, had a store, an awful nice country store. And, of course, she was a graduate of New York State. She taught school, my grandmother did. But the old grandmother was my grandfather's mother. She was a different type of person altogether. And, of course, my grandmother had lots of books. And they were their high school, their college books. And she was, in those days, just where she went to school was probably just like college, because her sister graduated, and her son was in Glens Falls. He's an architect, got a wonderful job, but they both taught school, but so that's the way I started. So that's how I learned on the. Things, and what I want, and I never get it, and it makes me so mad. I had an uncle who was just my age. He'd born my grandmother's, changed life. And he was the biggest nuisance. And they had in grandmother's, it was this book, and it belonged to the old grandmother. I don't know where she got it. Some of her people were well schooled. She had a brother who wrote history books. And this book, God help us, I want that book so much. And in it were the pictures of different herbs and medicine that they made from them. And it would be so clear that you could tell. If you looked at that picture, then looked out on the ground, you'd see it. And I wanted it so bad. And my uncles came one day and he took that away. I was so mad I could have shot him. Well, when I tried to get it after he died, and nobody paid any attention to what I said. Made me so provoked. I always wanted that book, and they knew I wanted it. And I was so mad to think that my uncle took it. I could have always, because if I'd gone to my grandfather and said, I want that book that's your mother's, he would have given it to me. But I didn't think, what it show up again, but never did. That was the most wonderful book I never have ever seen anything like it. And how the print was so good. You could tell what they were by looking at that book. Yeah.
Now, this was your great-grandmother that made the medicine?
Yes, my grandfather's mother, yeah, yes.
And she took care of people?
Well, yes, she stayed in my grandfather's family, you see, my Farley and my grandmother. Well, she didn't, she had some kidney problem, and she didn't work as hard like the old grandmother. She was the one that, her name was Martha. She was my father and my, she brought up the first three, and she did a better job than the grandmother. She was a religious person and a very different person. That's his mother. She was very, and she went all around doing for other people. Probably got nothing, no money. That's what she did around, yeah. She was very capable.
Did she used to tell you stories, or?
No, I didn't know her. She was dead before I. She was dead before I ever saw her. but I don't know. She died when my father, of course, always thought a lot of her, and his sister, and there were three of them there. The one who was a millwright, I was the oldest one, that was my father's brother, and then my father, and then his sister Grace, and she was a beautiful girl. And they all, of course, respected, but she got to be where she was blind, she couldn't see, and of course in those days they didn't do anything cataracts, but she was a very capable, very smart person. And her, well, I found out later in life. Of course, when I stayed at the Dillinghams, when I was in Montpelier Seminary, in the library, but of course I was young, I didn't know. There was a history book I loved, and I used to read it. And of course I didn't know, it was grandmother's brother that wrote it. I didn't know that until my grandfather told me, says, that was the trouble, you should have gotten grabbed that book. I said, I didn't know. I see, nobody told me. But, so she was very smart. The old grandmother was very capable. But I've thought of it so many times. Yeah, I've forgotten what the last name was. I've got it in my book, what the name was. But she married this Abel, of course, and had a large family. And my father, my grandfather, was so young he couldn't go to war. But
this is World War I.
Yeah, no, the Civil War.
Civil War.
The Civil War, the father of the family died, and a lot of the boys, they went to Civil War and they died. Mm. And so she lost her family that way. It was during the Civil War, yeah. But she was a very capable person.